The new film Rosenstrasse tells the true story of a 1943 protest against the Nazi arrest of Jews. The protesters were German Gentiles. For 7 days, they stayed outside a Berlin building where their relatives were being held, and they waited until the German government released their families. Pat Dell reports.
Rosenstrasse is the latest film from German director Margarete von Trotta to fictionalize real subjects. Her 1975 movie, The Lost Honor of Katharina Blum, is about a woman accused of harboring a terrorist. In 1986, she told the story of socialist leader Rosa Luxemburg. For Rosenstrasse, she sought out survivors of the protest who told her their stories, which she dramatized. Von Trotta says this is the way she always works, trying to find the link between the inner personal story and the outer historical setting.
In a documentary, you have facts. And even if you see some people and they are emotional, but it's still facts. And with a film, you can make a line out of emotion. The drama is really coming from outside and then goes inside. So you have always these two movements, from outside to inside, from inside to outside. And that's, for me, cinema.
Von Trotta is something of a pioneer in women's filmmaking in Germany, an actress turned director who became an important figure in the new German cinema of the 1960s and 70s. That new wave re-examined German life and history, aggressively, in her words. But until Rosenstrasse, von Trotta never tackled the Nazi era. The closest she'd come was the 1981 film Marianne and Julianne. Originally titled The Leaden Times, it was based on what von Trotta experienced as a schoolgirl in the 1950s, when post-war Germany was unwilling, she says, to face its past.
We had the feeling as youngsters that there was something like leaden over our heads, but we didn't know what it was exactly, no? Then, after a certain while, we couldn't close the eyes forever. So people said, oh yes, we were guilty. We all were guilty. We couldn't do nothing, but we all were guilty. And when everybody is guilty, nobody is guilty, no? If you don't accept that, you have a responsibility, a personal, individual responsibility, no? Then you are not yet awake.
And that's what von Trotta says is at the heart of her film about Rosenstrasse, that here were people who did something, even when, as the film shows, the SS tried to disperse them by firing in the air. That the SS did not shoot down the protesters may seem surprising. The film offers no explanation because the historical record is unclear. But historian Nathan Stoltzfus says this was the only recorded mass protest in Germany against the deportation of Jews. The idea of firing on members of the master race in a public place clashed with Hitler's theory of power, which rested on popular support, backed up by force. No one should mistake the Nazis' restraint in this case for compassionate fascism, however. Stoltzfus says it was a tactic.
People like their Nazi history in black and white. And all this is saying is that not that the Nazis are in any way good, but simply that they could strategize. Villains can be more villainous by being strategic. In fact, I think they were so effective at using brute force because they knew the limits of it, not that they just flailed out every time.
The protest on Rosenstrasse, or Rose Street, occurred less than a month after the German defeat at Stalingrad, which shook home front morale. That was the responsibility of Joseph Goebbels. He ultimately decided to defer his plans to solve what he called the delicate problem of removing Berlin's intermarried Jews. Historian Nathan Stoltzfus, in researching his book about the Rosenstrasse protest called Resistance of the Heart, talked to one of Goebbels' assistants.
He said, Goebbels said, let the Jews free in order to get rid of the protest. We don't want it, people seeing it and people learning. We don't want the specter of dissent. It's not so much the idea of these hundreds of people on the street being disaffected as a public scene. Or if they had shot the Germans, as he said, then their relatives would have come out on the street. So you're sort of breaking down that line between the so-called Aryan and the Jew. And they needed to keep that line very clear.
Most of the nearly 2,000 people being detained on Rosenstrasse didn't even know a protest was going on, says Fritz Gluckstein. He was one of them.
We couldn't look out, and we did not circulate inside the building. There was no visiting. You were in the room, and that was it. There was nothing.
He was imprisoned in a little room with so many people that they could just barely lie down. Gluckstein was 16 at the time, the son of a Jewish father and a Gentile mother. One day, he was summoned downstairs.
Lo and behold, I go downstairs, and waiting, there was my father.
Gluckstein didn't even know his father was also being held in another room in the same building.
We had to wait, and that was depicted very well in the movie. The doors didn't open, and everybody came out, one by one. And why was that? Because the release paper had to be signed by a sergeant, by Sergeant Schneider.
Most of those released from Rosenstrasse survived the war. But director Margareta von Trotta does not want audiences to come away thinking she's made a film to emphasize that there were good Germans during the Holocaust. It's just the opposite, she says.
My reason was to give a mirror of this good to the bad ones or to the indifferent ones, because they said we were all guilty, but there was nothing to do. And then you have the mirror where you have to look in, that there were courage, but they didn't want to be courageous. So it becomes even more difficult for them to stand up with their explanation.
And more difficult, she hopes, to lapse into forgetfulness about this history.
I always say that Hitler wanted an imperium of 1,000 years, no? Das tausendjährige Reich, no? He wanted to create. And it lasted only 12 years. But what he did, that will last us for 1,000 years. And we will remember still in 1,000 years.
For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.